Praise God. Nehemiah chapter number 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together in the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. Amen. For the people had a mind to work. Praise God. I'm going to do some teaching a little bit tonight and about unity. And praise God. We'll just jump off in there and just see what happens here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You may be seated today. Praise the Lord. So the people had a mind to work. We have talked about this last Sunday night, and just talking about how that Nehemiah was affected and how that he desired to go build the wall. And so he began to plan for that. He asked for letters, governors to be able to let him through the land. He asked for letters to the chief gardeners of the king's forest and such to be able to take the trees that he would be able to build the gates that were needed to be built. And then he got some people to go with him, and they began to build the walls. And we talked Sunday night about Focus 52, about just being focused completely. And there's no way that Nehemiah and his crew of 40-something people were going to be able to build a wall that was 4 miles in circumference, 50 foot tall, and no way that they're going to be able to build it within a short period of time. But because that they focused, and because here we see that the Bible said that the people had a mind to work, in 52 days it was done. And so what we do, we come from this, is that they all had to come together. They came together for a common goal and a common cause. And in coming together, they were able to achieve something that we even speak of into this day. And the way that they were able to do that, because not only were they building a wall, but they were setting up guard. They were watching in the nighttime. They were watching and working during the daytime. And they were staying focused on what they had to do. But the fact that they stayed focused, that they stayed unified together and working one with another, is the only way that they were able to accomplish what they accomplished. Amen. I know today that you know and understand that unity is a great principle. It is a something that is extremely important to God. We can look throughout the Bible and we can see that wherever that they accomplished anything whatsoever at all, they were unified together. Amen. As a matter of fact, the psalmist would say in Psalms chapter number 133, and I think Brother Wadislawski last year preached on this and to a great, great degree. But in Psalms 133, he said, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." He said, "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments." I want to stop right there and just clarify that this is not just a similitude. This is not just necessarily likening that, but he is referring and likening it unto the anointing oil that flowed down Aaron after he was anointed into the priesthood. When the oil was poured upon him, the Lord says unity is exact. You want anointing in your life? You got to work to stay unified. You want unity in the church? Amen. You want anointing in the church? Get unity in the church. You want anointing in prayer? You want anointing in whatever that it is? Get unity within it. And the Bible says that as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life evermore. And so what he is saying is, if we take this and say, you want anointing, then this is where you're going to get it. In the valley of unity, you get unified, and this is where the Lord is going to command his blessings to be. Praise God. Amen. Paul would tell the church that was in Ephesus, chapter number 4. In the book of Ephesians, he said, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He said, I am a prisoner of the Lord. I want you to know that he was in the dungeon at that particular time, writing one of his Pauline epistles. And there in the dungeon of the governors and all of those that wanted him to be there in his shackles and bonds and stuff. He said, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Amen. What he was saying is, there ain't nobody going to keep me in these shackles if God doesn't want me to be in these shackles. Amen. I'm only here because God has allowed me to be here. And he said, I am the prisoner of the Lord. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all loneliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And then he said it like this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, to keep the unity of the Spirit. But he said to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. That word endeavor in the Greek is the exact same word that they use in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, where he said to study, to show thyself approved. Amen. You could translate it out to endeavor to show thyself approved. Or you could simply backflow it and say, study to keep the unity of the Spirit. Amen. In other words, if there is going to be unity in the Spirit, somebody has got to strive diligently to do that and to keep it. You may have to study it out for a little while. You may have to sit back and ponder it. You may have to work diligent and put forth a diligent effort to be able to do it. But it can be done. But don't just expect unity the course of the day, just to be the thing of the day. That's not unity. Amen. The way that unity is going to come. Why? Because we have an adversary. And the adversary, amen, specializes in creating confusion. And God's not the author of confusion. Amen. But he will stir up strife wherever that he can stir up strife. He'll do whatever that he can in order to break the consistency and the strength of unity. And Paul says, you're going to have to give yourself. If you want anointing in the church, it's going to start with unity. And if you want unity in the church, you're going to have to strive. You're going to have to endeavor in order to be able to maintain it. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to say, where can I do better? How can I do better? What more can I do? Amen. But unity in the church is definitely worth having, for it is as the anointing oil that flowed upon Aaron, amen, from his head down to his feet. Praise God. Amen. There is a power that is involved that comes in unity. Amen. We could say it like this, and they mean two, I won't say they mean two opposite things, but they mean two different things. You can have unity, you can have a spirit of unity, and then you can have unity in the Spirit. And they are two different things. And so when we go to the book of Genesis, and we see there in Genesis chapter number 11, after that God had told Noah to go forth and to replenish the earth and to go throughout the earth. The Bible talks about a people that got together and they said, you know what? We want to build a tower that'll reach unto the heavens. And so they came together, and there was a spirit of unity that was about them, and they began to work together to create this tower. And they were of one language. They all spoke the exact same thing. And so it was easy to tell somebody to go get another stone, or to go do this and to collect this and to bring this or to bring that. It was easy to do that because everybody understood what they were talking about. And the Lord said that they were going to accomplish what they had set forth to do unless something happened. And so he went down among them. And the Bible said that he confused their language. Amen. They no longer spoke the same thing. And in no longer speaking the same thing, it dispelled the unity that they had. All right. Amen, amen, amen. Anybody here tonight? I said that when they no longer spoke the same thing, the spirit of unity was dispelled. We got to be of one mind and of one accord. We got to be able to speak the same thing. Amen. Paul said that he said that we ought to strive that there would be no divisions spoken among you. And it will happen. It'll happen. You know why? Because we're all human. And we all have emotions and we all have feelings. And there's times that we're going to get our feelings hurt. And we're going to get our emotions are going to be upset. And so we've got to strive to keep the spirit of unity in the church. And we've got to strive to keep the unity of the spirit in the church. And we've got to be able to work diligently in that. And so there are times that we're going to have hard conversations and such. But you know what? We ought to be able to have those hard conversations. I had a fairly hard conversation today with an individual that I knew he wasn't going to like what I had to say, but I wanted him to hear it straight from me, and so I was getting in my truck to call him, and lo and behold, my phone rang, and it was him. I said, well, I guess this is just meant to be. And so we chit-chatted for a little bit and stuff. And I said, look, I said, I want to tell you something. I said, I want you to hear it from me. I don't want you to hear it from anybody else. And so I began to tell him and talk to him and stuff. And I said, you know, I said, I don't expect you to agree with me. I didn't call you trying to get you to agree with me. I said, I know that you don't agree with me. And he said, you're right. I don't agree. But you know what? That's okay. And he said those exact words. He said, you know what? That is okay. He said, I'm not trying to make you who I am. I don't care that you are who I am. He said, we're both men, and we've got to be able to do these things. And you know what? These things happen in the church. There's going to be confusions. There's going to be assumptions. There's going to be things that you're going to feel like, well, I just don't feel like they like me. I just feel like they don't care. I just feel like, and you know what? We've got to study. We've got to strive to push beyond that, because any little wedge that the devil can get into the church, he is going to drive that wedge into that crack, and he's going to try to split it asunder. Amen. Do you think it's ironic that one of the war cries of the nation is united we stand and divided we fall? That's because the enemy wants to do that. Amen. He's not going to be able to destroy the church on a whole. But what he's going to try to do is he's going to try to separate you, to segregate. He's going to push you aside. He's going to get you away from everybody. Amen. And then he's going to begin to work upon that. I was talking to another individual today, and they said, you know what? He said, I'm fighting this. He had no idea. He still doesn't even know what I'm preaching tonight. But he said, I'll tell you what I'm fighting. He said, I've got certain people in the church that always are crying about how that nobody cares, nobody does this, nobody does that. He said, but it's the very people that separate themselves from everybody. They don't go to things when everybody is around. They don't come to any of the fellowships. They don't come to any of the little parties and the little things, but yet they want to cry and complain about how that nobody cares and that nobody is concerned about them and they don't have any friends. When the Bible teaches us that if a person has friends, he's got to show himself friendly. Amen. I'm telling you that this theme, this principle, this subject of unity is extremely important, and it is great when it comes to the spirit of revival and when it comes to having revival and seeing things. The church has got to be unified. That does not mean that I'm going to like everything that you wear or like everything that you eat or like everything that you say, and you're probably not going to like everything that I say and such, but we got to understand we're humans. We've got emotions and such. Amen. And we've got to be able to get beyond these. Amen. And we've got to be able to stand and say, you know what? We have got to stand together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if anybody's out there tonight. I may be just preaching to myself. Praise God. Praise God. But this is the way that the people did that in building the tower. They came together. They had one mind. They had one purpose. They said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to build a tower that reaches unto the heavens. And the Lord said they would have succeeded. Why is it that you can put 50 liberals in a room and they'll all come out smiling and they'll have one agenda? But you put 50 conservatives in a room, you're going to come out with 50 different ideas, and nobody's going to be friends anymore. That's why the conservatives have such a hard time getting anything passed. Let me give you a prime example. Elon Musk and Donald Trump used to be pretty good friends. But you know what happened? They clashed in ideas. And now Elon Musk, like Donald Trump said, he's taking his toys and going playing somewhere else. And Elon Musk is over here saying, I'm going to create my own division. Create my own party. Going to do my own thing. That is just the way that it works. Amen. That is the way that it works. And if there is going to be unity, then we have got to endeavor. We've got to work diligently to make it happen. Amen. We've got to make it happen. Work diligently to make it happen. Amen. That's why the Bible put in there and said, amen, concerning your brother and your sister, that if they be offended with you, just go to them and talk to them. The Lord said, it's worth it. There needs to be unity. Amen. But some people are so offended and stuff, and they say, well, I ain't doing anything until somebody comes to me. Oh, Jesus, help us. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the Lord put all of our answers in there. Amen. When he put this in there, he said, it's got to be. This is how that it happens. This is how that I'm going somewhere tonight. I just got to stop meddling about all of this. All right? Amen. So the Lord sent an angel down, and he confounded their language. He confused their language, and they couldn't understand each other. And they didn't understand when somebody said, go get me this or go get me that. They didn't understand. And so they dispersed, and it was over with, all because the unity, amen, had been done away with because they didn't speak the same thing. The Bible said that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord. They were all in one place in one accord. In other words, they all come together in one place. And that is the same way it is with the church today. That if we're going to have great revival, then we've got to be able to come together to make it happen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. We can't just expect somebody else to pull the cart. We cannot just expect somebody else to do all the work. We can't just expect, amen, that somebody else is gonna step up to make it happen, and then we're all gonna go and enjoy it all. Amen. There has got to be a spirit of unity, and there has got to be the unity of the Spirit that is involved in all of this, and we've got to come together. And when we come together, I'm telling you, mountains will be moved. The Bible said that a threefold cord is not easily broken. The Bible said if two or three of you agree on any one thing. In other words, what he is insinuating here is let's not all just be of one idea. Let's come together. Let's agree on something and let's make it happen. And when we get our minds together and we begin to work together in the Spirit, there is no telling what can happen. Praise God. I've just got a feeling that there is a revival that is to be had. Oh, Jesus, help us here today. Can we just love him here for a few moments tonight? Praise God. Praise God. I'm almost done. I have fought with this message for the last few hours and such. But I just felt like at some point in time, God was just going to put it together. Amen. I want you to know that a blind man can see disunity. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. Come on. I said a blind man can sniff out and see disunity. Amen. Amen. I'm just simply saying that any visitor can come in and they don't have to know us. They don't have to know anything about us, but they don't have to be around us for very long at all before they can be able to tell, wow, this church doesn't even like each other. You say, oh, that would never happen. I pastored that church. I did. I pastored that church. Man, we were having revival. We were cranking it, and there was people that were coming, and we had an average attendance of somewhere about 30, I think, when we got voted in, and sometime after that, I think our record attendance was 96, something along those lines. They had a bunch of bus kids, but on Tuesday night, we had regular service on Tuesday night, and on Tuesday night, we were sitting somewhere around 67 to 71 all the time, and it was going great, and then all of a sudden, it was like somebody stuck a big old knife in the side of the wall of the tire and let all the air out. And I mean, it just began to deflate and began to go down. And I saw one of the new converts one time, and he was out walking on the street and going to work. And so I pulled over on the side of the road and I said, hey, brother, I said, let me give you a ride to work. And he said, oh, no, that'll be okay. And I said, no, I insist. And so we got to talking and stuff, and I said, look, I said, we miss you. I want you to come back and stuff. And he hem-hawed around a little bit and such. And then finally he said, well, you know what? He said, I just don't know. I said, well, what's the problem? He said, I don't even believe they like each other. He's like, I believe that the whole church hates one another. And you know what? I could not argue with him because we were fighting that spirit, amen, left and right. And we had backbiters and gossipers and dissensions, and people were getting jealous and such, and people touching their part of the service and different things and such like that. And it was just one thing after another. And so people just began to quit. And you know, I just thought, you know, what a sad testimony for a church to have. What a sad testimony. Amen. And that even just the babes in Christ are able to see that, even though that they might be blinded. You know, when they first come in, they just think everybody loves one another. But then all of a sudden, they begin to see through some things and stuff. And that ought not to be so. We've got one goal, and that is to make heaven. Number one, I want to make heaven my home. Number two, I want to take somebody with me. Number three, I want you to go with me. Amen. That there's no greater joy than to know that we had a church that was working together and we were able to make heaven our home. Are we going to fight fights? Absolutely. But we're not going to fight them with each other. Amen. Our enemy is not going to be our brother. Enemy is not going to be the sister. The enemy is going to be the devil. Amen. And God's going to take care of everything else. Korah tried to bring division in among the people. And the Lord said, I'll take care of that division. And he divided the the earth and swallowed Korah and all of his entourage into the earth. Amen. Praise God. All because of rebellion that was there and the disunity that was brought in because of all of that. It's a work of the enemy, and we've got to be able to notice it and stand up against it. Amen. Sanballat, Tobiah, they didn't want the wall built, but I've got something to say. We're going to build a wall. We're going to build a wall, and we're going to come together, and that's what Focus 52 is all about. I don't know everything that you're giving up. I don't ever know everything that you're pushing aside, and you may not know everything that I've got, but I am telling you this. We're coming together in one mind and one accord, and we're focusing upon this specific time, and God is going to do something great. We just got to stay focused and not let the devil get in any form, any fashion, any way. We've got to see the will of God accomplished. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not here tonight, and I'm just about done. Second in closing. I'm not here tonight to try, whatever. Because we really don't have that problem. We really don't have that problem. We have had people that have come and they have said, you know what? If there's anything about that church, you just feel like everybody loves you, everybody cares, everybody does this. We don't need any cliques in the young people's groups. We don't need any cliques and other things and all the other stuff and ways and stuff like that. We don't need any cliques. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. And whatever we can do to help one another to get to heaven and make life easier and to know and to encourage one another and to lift one another up, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. But we can't just take that for granted, that that's always going to be there and that's always going to be just the theme, just the thing of the day, and that everybody, amen, there's going to be troubling times. There's going to be things that come. There's going to be situations that are going to happen. But we've got to be smart enough and wise enough and recognize these things and say, no, devil, you're not getting a door. You're not getting an open door here. Amen. You're not getting an open door here. Praise God. And so I want you to believe. Let's stand here tonight. I want you to believe. As we go through this, as we go through the next 51 days, there is a common goal. I've talked with some of you. We've talked about some things that we would like to see. Prayers that we would like to have answered. Different things. But I think that the goal of the entire church ought to be that we would experience great revival. Mighty and a mighty outpouring of the Spirit. I love each and every one of you, but I'm not satisfied with just a few. I can't be content just seeing an empty baptistry. I've laid my hands on that baptistry and I've prayed, God, it's been too long. I got to see somebody baptized in Jesus' name. I want to see somebody filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It can start right with your prayers that you've been praying. And God can answer your prayers. And I feel that that's one of the areas that God would want to do something great in. talking to the man that I talked to today about the thing that we disagree about. He began to open up and he began to talk about some things. And he told me, he said, you know, Brother Cowan, he said, I believe that a great and effectual revival is just around the corner for you. He said, I believe it's not going to be long and the switch is going to be flipped. And he said, God's going to open up the door and do things. I don't want you to forsake whatever you're pushing aside. Let's say that for 52 days you push aside sugar. You're like, not going to eat any sugar for 52 days. If you just endure, 52 days later, you're just going to be an upset, aggravated person who didn't get their sugar and be looking for day 53. If you said, all I'm going to drink for 52 days is water, or if you said, I'm just going to get off of social media for 52 days, or I'm going to do this, and if that's the only deal is just to make that happen, then I think we've missed the point. But every day when we come back, when we start the next day, say, God, I'm doing this. I'm doing it to focus on you. My focus is on you. And this is bringing me back around to focus. Because I've got a prayer I want you to answer. Because we've got revival that we want to have. There's things that we want to see come to pass. I'm not doing this just to be hungry. I'm not doing this just so I can be an aggravated person because I didn't get chocolate or didn't get whatever. I'm doing this because I want to see something break. I want to see something happen. 52 days later, Nehemiah and his workers were looking around at the wall that got accomplished. It got built. And it's just simply because they focused. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to focus. Focus on what God would have. There are things that are coming to pass. I was talking to Brother Wirtz the other day, and we were talking about these things, and he said, you know, he said, I'm just so excited. He said, I've waited 30 years for these things to begin to come to pass, and he said, and here they are. It's happening. Let's push it on through. Push it on through, and let's have great revival. Amen. Praise God. I'm opening up these altars tonight. We have plenty of time. Maybe you would come. Say, God, keep me focused. I don't want to get unfocused. I don't want to be a tool in the enemy's hand to bring confusion or disunity in any form or any fashion. Church, there are backsliders that are depending upon us to push this thing through. There are sinners that have never been in church. In reality, they're depending on a church to stand strong and to push it on through. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to do.